Rich Henderson challenged you last week. He was on a drug-fueled rant, which I loved. He admitted it to you, so those of you that were here last week, he challenged you to do what? Be all in. Go all in. He used this this word picture that I think he got from his daughter, Greta, about when you're standing on a diving board, you can't just rip off one of your limbs and throw it in the water to test the temperature of the water, right? You just dive in. You just go. And that's Christianity. And what I loved is Rich said, this isn't some weird, deeper form of Christianity. This is what Christianity is. And I just shouted amen as I'm listening to it on my phone. That's it. You're not trying to arrive at some, like, attain some higher level. This isn't a pyramid scheme. All right? This is Christianity. This is who we are. This is who we should be. And Paul speaks so plainly about that. So as I was preparing for camp to go last week and then looking at what I needed to be teaching today, I started reading the material for today, and I got an easy pass. I started reading this, and it was one of those scriptures where I could stand up and tell you, well, what Paul was really meaning is exactly what he said. You know, scripture actually is like that. You know that? You know that? I've used the analogy Jack Sparrow in the Pirates movies. There was a part where everybody came to the realization that Jack was actually telling the truth. And they said, you were actually telling the truth. And he said, I do that quite a lot. You people are always surprised. That's how scripture is, right? That's how God's word is. There's no way around it. So I just get to just read this scripture to you. Drop the mic and walk away. I was a little worried about using the headset mic because how do you drop a headset mic when it's on a cord? It's just not the same. It's like slamming a cell phone down after you're mad at a call. It doesn't have that same effect as an old pew. Yeah? So I want to back up a little bit, and I want to just read. Rich did a beautiful job covering. I'm not trying to do any cleanup on you, man. I just want to read from the start of chapter 12 to the end of chapter 12, and I want you to keep your ears open. The first part of this is not going to be on the screen because I just now am figuring this out as I teach you, but I didn't prepare. Can you tell? Just kidding. But it says this. I'm going to be reading out of the Message. The Message unpacks this beautifully. It says this. Place your life before God. Paul says this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Everything you do, place it before God. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I am speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me. And especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you, living then as every one of you does in pure grace. We just got done singing about all of those things. It's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way of understanding ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us. We are defined through God. Why? Because He is our Creator, right? Yeah. But what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. He goes on to say, in this way, we are like the various parts of the human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. You remember that Christ chooses every single one of you? As we talked about a couple weeks ago, God chooses everyone, but not everyone chooses God. Remember that? Are you starting to make this connection? Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellent formed and marvelous functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Goes on to say this, if you preach, just preach. God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. We've all ran into the bossy churchy people, right? Can I get an amen? Holla. Yeah, yeah. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. We've ran into those people too. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them. Don't you hate it when God speaks to you and you're needing to cry in front of 100 people? That's awesome. When you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. And this is the part that we're catching up with now. This will be on the screen. Why do we do all these things? Why do we function? Rich talked about the function of who we are. The agape life. Being who God called us to be. Being okay to be who God called us to be. Not fighting him, but just being who God called us to be. Not rising up to some high level, but just being who God called us to be. Why do we do this? So we can do this. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. That's God. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh when you're happy with friends. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. He ends with this. Our scripture tells us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. This stuff's so confusing. What Paul means by love from the center of who you are, don't fake it. In the Greek, it actually means love from the center of who you are, don't fake it. Let me unpack some more here. Run from dear life from evil. The Greek actually means run from dear life from evil. This is really tough stuff. I mean, you guys are going to have to unpack this, right? Hold on for dear life to good. He's not really mincing words, is he? He's not saying anything masked in this mystery that we can't figure out, that we can't hold to, that we can't understand. It really comes down to, are you willing to be obedient to what God has called you to be? And it's all those things, apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, servant. And as Rich mentioned, it's not an extensive list necessarily that Paul's given us here. But God has called each and every one of you to be something, has he not? To do something, has he not? To be what Romans is describing here, to do what Romans is describing here. That's not just for myself. That's not just for the elders here. That's not just for Craig or Tanya or my wife. That is for you. That is for you children. That is for you junior hires. That is for you little junior kids. That call is on all of our lives. Why? Because God our Creator loved us. God our Creator created us to love us and for us to love Him. It's pretty simple. It's very simple. It's almost too simple. We want to make it something it's not, right? Like it can't be this cool. It can't be this good. We've got to somehow figure something else out that looks a little better. And it's not that. It's a simple thing. Will you choose to be loved by Jesus today? Can you get over yourself today to be loved by Jesus today? Those of you that don't know Jesus, you're probably saying, I don't necessarily know that answer to that question, but will you wrestle with that question, please? Wrestle with it. For those of you that have been Jesus followers and somehow you have just forgotten everything that Jesus has said, and I get it because I can do that really fast. I can do that really easily, and it's probably because I don't want to hear what Jesus said because it requires change in my heart. It requires change in who I hang out with. It requires change in who I am. Will you be loved by Jesus today as well? Let Him love you. Let Him grow your love for Him. Let your love grow obedience in you. Can you do that? You don't have to answer right now. Ponder on these things. Think on these things. If you're living a life that does not look like what Paul has described in Romans 12, this transformed life, and you're saying you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for all this time, and you don't do the things that are listed in this, your life doesn't reflect these things, I would be checking yourself, all right? Check yourself. If you're a Christian by name only, you're doing it wrong. It's kind of quiet. I used to be a Christian by name only. There was a good long time in my history where I said, yeah, I love Jesus. And we run this weird circle that is, you know, we want to be in this circle of, as long as people think I'm beautiful, as long as people think I'm smart, and as long as people think I'm good, that's good enough for me. You can fool a lot of people living life that way, can't you? As long as you think I'm good, beautiful, and smart, that's okay. Things are okay. I ran that game with a poisonous heart for many, many years. I ran in that because as long as I could fool people around me, my life was easy because there was no challenge. People thought I was good. People thought I was, well, somewhat beautiful, I suppose. In some circles, I would be considered beautiful. Not really sure what circles those are, the white and pasty. Nothing out of you. Good. Thank you for not agreeing. But as long as people think those things about us, we're okay. But what about the things that Paul says about us? What about those things? The actual criteria by what we need to be living up to. He didn't mention anything about being beautiful, smart. He didn't mention about fooling anyone. He said what? Be yourself. So if you're here, Jesus lovers, Jesus proclaimers, and all you're doing is running in that circle, you're doing it wrong. You're running from Jesus. You're running the opposite way of where He's asking you to go. Will you allow Jesus to love you today? Will you allow Jesus to grow your love into obedience for what these things are within Romans? Will you be transformed? Will you start living this life that God called every single one of us to? Adam, it's hard. Sure. That's why we have community. Adam, it's really difficult. Yeah, but that's why we serve this community together, right? Adam, I don't know what's going to happen. That's right, because this is an adventure. Once you talk to Jesus, your life is an adventure. Once Jesus encounters you, your life will never be the same. Adam, I don't know if I can do this because I don't know how this works. Well, that's why we gather together in worship. That's why we gather together to see one another. That's why we gather together to sing songs about who God is, what he means to us. I'm hitting our core values, if you can't tell. Adam, but what does this look like? What does this look like in our world once these things start happening? Well, it looks like we're moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. Yeah? And that sounds like Jesus' words in the end of Matthew, in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, right? Go do this with other people. Live life with other people. Speak to other people. Show what God has done for you to other people. And it's going to be infectious, and it's going to grow inside them, and it's going to be this thing that is unstoppable within them, and, man, the world will change. Your world will change. I love how Paul talks about being inventive in hospitality. He didn't section these things out after he said, well, if you preach, preach. If you teach, teach only the Word of God. Everything that followed that was for everybody, whether you serve, whether you teach, whether you preach, that list after that is for everyone. Be inventive in hospitality. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know what? We've been pushing block parties. We don't do that for our benefit. We don't do that for your benefit. We do that for the benefit of everybody that's not here, that's out here, outside of this building, outside of Whitewater, outside of Jesus. You heard from Louise last week talking about block parties. You heard her experience with eating together. I don't know of anybody that does not like food. And if you say, I don't like food, you're a liar. Okay? That's just plain and simple. I don't know of anybody who doesn't like some kind of a drink, coffee, water, milk. What's the other one? Oh, yeah, beer, whiskey, margaritas. I like how you paired all the drinks last week with the appropriate foods. Margaritas with tacos, beer with burgers, you know, it was beautiful. But I don't know of anybody who doesn't like food, and so if food can be a catalyst for you to get together with people, do it. Be inventive in that hospitality. We also do moving out of this church here. If you have a need to be moved or help moved or help packed or unpacked, you need to call Craig Johnson because he's the leader of the moving ministry. Actually, not really. It started with Craig, but this is birthed out into the hearts of you, and this is birthed out into your heart. So when you call and say, we need to get the moving people together, that means you're the point person. Understand? That means you're taking the vision of moving people two steps closer, of loving your neighbors, of loving the people around us, and saying, I'm the guy or the girl. And it becomes your job then to wrangle us, the community, and the community will get behind you. Whitewater will get behind you. I've not seen them not get behind loving this community. Be inventive in how you love people. We had to invent on the fly yet last night. My son went over to play at his friend's house. And his friend has a new dog. It's this husky. And my son comes in, and he's like, their dog bit me. And he's 8 years old, and he lifts up the back of his pants, which the dog actually ripped through the pants and got into the skin. And Zero wasn't upset about it. He's like, it's okay, I was wrestling, and he was protecting his... I'm like, well, I'm glad it's your back of your leg, not your face. But the neighbor comes in, not knowing how we would respond. And we had to be inventive with love on the spot. And what does that look like? Well, we said, we're going to sue you. I'm going to take you for everything you got. And I'm going to shoot your dog right in front of you. That's what I told him. No, I'm just kidding. My wife and I were just like, you know what? That's okay. Sorry that happened. You know, Zero, be cautious next time you're around this dog. And that's a little weird to do because, you know, there's the justice piece that rises up within you that says, you hurt my kid. Your dog should probably go down if he's biting people. Or let your kid come over here and let my dog bite your kid. Eye for eye. But you have to be inventive with that love on the spot. You have to be available to what God's asking you to do. Will you let Jesus love you this morning? Will you let His love grow your love and grow your obedience so that you can become this thing that Romans is talking about that's for everybody, every single one of you? Age makes no difference. What your previous thoughts on Jesus before walking in these doors this morning makes no difference. Doesn't matter. Whether you hated God and hated Jesus before this moment, it does not matter. Because he loves you. Always has, always will. So I want to spend some time in prayer this morning. I want to spend some time praying about this. Will you let Jesus love you this morning? Will you stop playing these games? Will you rise up to just this level called Christianity? Will you rise up to just following Jesus? Stop being who you're not and start being who Jesus said you are. Let's pray. God, all this Jesus talk is cheap if it doesn't follow heart change. Even claiming the name of Christian is cheap if it doesn't infect our entire being. God, your love wasn't cheap. Your love was you coming here to save us from ourselves. You coming here teaching us how to love you, teaching us how to love one another, teaching us how to be what the world needs and how the world will actually change. God, may we stop fighting where you choose to love us. Where you choose to grow us up, may we stop fighting that and just allow your love in every area of our world where we would choose to be something other than your love. God, teach us to love from the center of who we are. God, give us the courage to run for dear life from evil. And to hold on for dear life to good. God, may we be good friends who love deeply and practice playing second fiddle. God, that we would lean on you in times of close to being burnt out. And that would just keep us fueled and aflamed. God, may we be alert servants of you, cheerfully expectant for the things that you want to do in our world, the things that you want to do in our neighborhood, the things that you want to do in our families, the things that you want to do in Laramie. God, give us strength to not quit in the hard times when life doesn't look like the things of you. Father, may that just drive us to our knees that we pray all the harder. God, may we help one another. May we help needy Christians. May we be inventive in our hospitality. God, teach us what it means to bless our enemies, that we wouldn't even just talk poorly of them under our breath, let alone out loud. God, teach us to laugh with our happy friends when they're happy, and teach us empathy that we can share tears when they're down. God, you called us to get along with each other and not to be stuck up. But you also asked us to make friends with nobodies. You asked us to make friends with those people that might be hard for us to make friends with. You asked us to be something for them. God, in the moments where we want to strike out and hit back for whatever life deals us, for whatever our friends deal us, for when us, those that claim Jesus, treat each other poorly, God, our tendency is to hit back. But God, may we not do that. May we discover beauty in everyone. May we discover that everyone was meant to house the fullness of Jesus. May we see people like that. May we talk to people like that. May we love people like that. May we get along with everybody. God, may we never insist on getting even. May we always recognize that that's your job, that you'll do the judging, that you'll take care of it, whatever situation it is, whatever thing it is, and that you'll take care of us. God, I pray that you bring an enemy to our minds this morning. Someone that we can't stand, someone that's so detestable to us, someone that's in our world that we talk poorly about, that we find it a challenge to love, that we just don't extend your love to. And if they're hungry, God, may we buy them lunch. Or if they're thirsty, God, may it be us that give them drink, so that your generosity will surprise them with goodness, with your goodness. And that we will never let evil get the best of us, but get the best of evil by doing good, by doing the things that you say, by doing the things that Paul writes about, by living as you've asked us to live. It's not just for myself as a pastor, it's for everybody to live and rise up to that, to be that. You've called all of us to that. So God, this morning I pray to the question of will we allow Jesus to love us, the question that is answered with a yes. For those of you that aren't able to answer that today, God, I pray that they will just continue to wrestle with that, that your Holy Spirit will not leave them alone, that it will just continue to nag and nag and nag until that answer is yes. God, for those of us that have forgotten how to love, forgotten who we are, forgotten the call, forgotten that we are all in if we claim Christianity, God, smack us. Smack us upside the head. Get our attention. Wake us up that we will live and be who you have called us to be and how you have called us to live. God, thank you for community. Thank you for the world that we live in. Thank you for the people that you bring into our lives to love. May we do them justice. May we do you justice. May we do kingdom justice. We ask all these things in your name and expect you to move and expect you to be who you say you are in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.